Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got a fascinating person, I think, as a guest today. It's a woman who has basically entered into a man's world, and I say that because most of us gals are not even closely interested in knowing how to work with mechanics, but we've got a guest, Pamela Oakes, who has put together a publication called Car Care for the Clueless, and she publishes because she wanted people to know that they can make money, if you will, in the sense of saving money relative to your vehicle, its well-being. Pam, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. How are you today?
Well, I'm absolutely magnificent. Now, I was really intrigued with your material because not only do you own your own shop, you are an ASE certified technician. You've been involved with cars, my goodness, for most of your life.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been educating people. You're in Florida. Tell us how in the world, I mean, did you grow up with a monkey wrench in your hand? I mean, what made you go against it? I would say this is the absolute opposite of what most women would even be interested in. This is the last thing most of us are interested in. And I'm not saying that in any way to be a negative. It just seems to be something that the guys love to be the grease monkeys. Were you always this way?
Oh, yes. You know, it's just what we're exposed to when we're younger. And I found it much more fascinating to be around my great-grandfather and my dad working on vehicles than I found doing dishes in the kitchen with my great-grandmother and my mom.
Well, I could find better things than doing dishes, too.
Yes.
But seriously, I mean, this is something I am always intrigued with, because when women, whether they want to be a jet fighter or you get into mechanics, you really have to have an aptitude, I think, for it. God help anybody if ever I got into their engine. But anyhow, it's just one of those things, and I have such an appreciation for women like you that really enjoy this because you know your stuff. Now, tell us, since you worked with your dad and you really got to know about engines, did you go to a vocational school to get certified as an ASE technician? Tell me what an ASE technician is, what's required, so that those in my audience can find out about it. Maybe they've got a daughter that would just love to be involved in the work that you do.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, you just opened up a bunch of answers for me to tell you all. First of all, I grew up with it. I remember my great-grandfather, and we were very close with them, and my dad, my great-grandfather, he had his own shop back in the late 20s, early 30s in Detroit. And then during the war effort, went over to Dodge, Maine, and stayed with Dodge, Maine until he retired. My grandfather was at Dodge, Maine, and my dad, he was an independent on the east side of Detroit. But I remember, you know, my great-grandfather sitting me down, and whenever he'd do something, even my father would say, watch what I'm doing, look at this. And you'd watch, and that's how you learned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, they didn't have to say anything. You just went over, and you would do it. And I learned how to set a choke on his 69 Plymouth, and I still have that car today, believe it or not.
Amazing.
And, you know, it's just intriguing to me. I was the person who would take things apart and put them back together again because I wanted to see what made them tick. And sometimes, you know, they didn't want me taking things apart because they needed to use the item right then. But
you were one of those kids.
I was one of those, but it went back together and it worked. But, you know, for school, nowadays, now, I got a degree in electronic technology, but nowadays, for somebody who is interested in automotive technology, you know, they still have the premise that, oh, they're a bunch of grease monkeys, you know. No, they're not. We're highly trained, highly educated individuals who just love mechanics. love the actual mechanical workings and electronic workings of vehicles, and we just eat it up. We're constantly doing update classes through the Toyota, GM, Honda. I mean, there is no sitting back. There is no graduation. You have to constantly learn. If you do not, you lose out, and you might as well just go sit on the bench.
You bring up a point that I think is extremely important, and it was told to me by a mechanic years ago who had been working for General Motors, and my goodness, he had been doing it for years and years and years, and he said when he started out, and this is a man who would be in his 80s, I would say, at this time, but Pete told me, he said, when I was working for GM, and he said this was in the 70s and in the 80s, he said they were already talking long before a lot of the computerization that we're so comfortable with today. He said, just as you said, they had to be in classes all the time because there were new aspects for wiring, there were new pumps, there were different engines, and they had to know how to work with all of them. So he said you had your own kit, but you had to continuously advance your knowledge.
Yep.
And he reached a point where he decided it wasn't fun for him anymore. So he preferred working with the older cars, and so he went into that venue rather than keeping up with the computerization and other things. But he said back in the 70s when he was working with General Motors, they were talking about computer chips even then.
Oh, yeah.
That were going to come in. They said, you won't have to deal with certain wires, certain things. You'll just take out a small chip, and then you'll put another one in. And he said, we all were just sitting there, and our eyes were as big as saucers. And he said, you've got to be kidding. But you're right. And that was back then that he said they were already talking about these advancements. So it takes a while, but now with so many of these engines, some of them, there's a vehicle coming out pretty soon that's going to be using different, natural gas, and there's something else that's, there's, the ethanol, and you cover so many things in this small book, and I was so impressed with your material in here and how you wanted to educate people to work with mechanics, because there's often times, I've had situations where people gave me wrong information. I didn't know any better. I was in a situation just like the very first lady that you had and mentioned in your book about a window problem. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. She's actually one of our long-term customers. We had known her since the mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gotten on in years, and she just had one of those, as seniors, when they get up in age, a little panic attack that it was going to instantly rain because this window was down.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't wait for a couple of hours to get in. And she said, well, I'll just go over to the dealer and have them put it up. And they put this fear into her, which no technician ever should ever do. And she just bought the whole kit and caboodle. And then they drove her home, and then she realized, and she called me. She goes, oh, my God, what did I do? And I told her, I said, you have to call and tell them to stop. And she called them up and had a few words with them, called me back, and they told me it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, it eventually had a good outcome because we were an advocate for her, that we presented all this evidence to the state that these items did not need to be replaced. And she did get reimbursed. It took a while, but it did happen.
Wow.
And
well, I'll tell you that.
You don't need to go through all that,
Mm-hmm. That, I know, has happened to me, and I know other people that have had those experiences. And that's why I think when you can find someone you feel you can trust, and you bring out the fact that we should always look for the ASE Blue Seal, and that is representative of the fact that these are people that are trained.
Yes.
And they should have that level of integrity. I think that that's something that's really, really big on so many levels today, Pamela. And let's face it, it's not inexpensive doing car repairs.
No,
we're not talking about $50 here. We're talking about thousands. Like for her, it was a few thousand dollars that they billed her.
And, that's money That's hard-earned money. Let's face it, we go to work every day. That's hard, you know? It's not easy. And why take that money when you could be investing in it? You know, if you need it for food in some cases, especially the way the economy is, food and meds, especially if you're senior, you know, what do I do? Do I fix my car, or do I eat, or do I take my meds? And it's a sin, but it's actually starting to get to that point. Car repair is so expensive. So if they just take the time out and they ask the question, all they have to do is say, why? Why do I need this? And if they don't understand the first explanation, you keep on asking why again until you get it. And then, you know, if they get upset with you, you need to find another shop, because this is part of today's ASC certified technician's job, is to explain in layman's terms why this is going on with your vehicle. And no 25-cent words, because let me tell you, you know, that's when you really want to put the red flags up and say, wait a minute, something's going on here, I need a second opinion. The other question they need to ask is how. How is this going to affect my car's performance, how it rides, how I can operate it, and most of all, how is it going to affect my wallet? Extremely important.
And that is very, very important. One of the things that you bring out is a statement that professional technicians do not talk poorly about others.
Exactly.
This is something that I thought is a very interesting perspective, because there are those occasions that sometimes you may come in contact with a technician, they're talking about somebody behind their back, or they're talking about certain things going on within the company, and you know, the average person would go, wow, this is not good. I don't know that I want to be here. And I've known, I think of one big chain of shops, I'm not going to mention their name, but they had so many turnovers in the shop that it really concerned me that, you know, they were local. Why are you changing people so frequently?
Exactly.
Why are you moving them around?
Exactly.
And it really gives you concern, because when you get to know somebody and you get to trust a mechanic, you really want to trust them.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's like in the shop here, in my shop. I mean, we've had somebody here going on 15 years, somebody going on 14, somebody going on 13, somebody going on 9. And while we're all getting up there in age, and some of us are kind of seeing retirement, the tunnel of retirement, you know, it's good to have long-term people. Because they work together, and that if you see the same faces all the time, that means that, you know, everybody's comfortable with each other and they work well with each other. I mean, it's like your extended family. Once in a while, you're going to get in a snit with somebody. That's normal, like you would at home. But again, that's a good thing, because, I mean, you're like I said, an extended family, and you guys work things out and you help each other, and it's very important to have long-term employees where you go to take your vehicle.
I agree with that. Also, I think what's important is that when you have, let's say, an age diversity to a degree, because it takes time to really get to know vehicles, and there are many people, like myself, that love older vehicles. I've got an 88 Cadillac that I just dearly love. She rides like a dream. And I have people stopping me, wanting to know if they can buy it from me, because she's not made anymore. She's considered a classic. And I just absolutely love her. She's a wonderful, wonderful vehicle. And like I said, she drives like a dream. And there are things that, let's say, someone that maybe just came out of a vocational school or training school would not necessarily know about this car, but somebody that had been around them or was aware of them, had been working on them at a time in the past, would.
Exactly.
And you need that kind of cross, what I call cross-cultural environment in the mechanics, because, gee whiz, technology has just changed so much.
Oh, it has. It has. And, you know, we do our hybrid updates, and it's kind of funny, because the first half of the course, we do this 2-3 times a year, is how not to electrocute yourself.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, the second half, they talk about the updates. But, yeah, basically, and you can see the younger techs in there, and they have this look on their face, what do you mean electrocute yourself? And us older techs, we remember when they came out with a no-distributor vehicle, and they just had this coil pack, a distributorless system. And one of the manufacturers, when they came out, and I remember this because I was doing a factory certification. I'm going to keep the manufacturer nameless. But we were there, and we were finishing up certification, and word got through that one of the engineers and one of the techs working with one of the engineers got electrocuted, and this was back in 95.
Oh, my goodness.
From touching something they weren't supposed to. I mean, they grounded themselves out, leaned across the car, and touched something. So, you know, we were kind of already used to, how would you say, handling ourselves, kit gloves with electrical components on cars. But the up-and-coming techs, they're like, what am I getting myself into? Well, it's just common sense. They're going to have to use common sense and do care.
Mm-hmm.
Be, you know, able to run around, talk to friends on the phone. Like, we have, well, I don't even have to tell them, there's a no cell phone policy in the shop.
Oh, because of electrical charges, too, with that. That could be very hazardous.
Well, that, but you need to be paying attention to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get some, they're on the phone, they're texting or whatever, and they're working on this car, they're not paying attention. You have to have 110% devotion to that car while you're working on it. That things happen. And they can't stress this enough, you know, when you take these courses, these update courses. But, you know, live and learn, and that's a lesson that you're not going to live to learn it.
That's the truth. Now, you have... Mm-hmm, excuse me, go ahead.
That tells, you know, the consumer out there, too, if they're telling all of us technicians, certified technicians, all this information, that means that don't pop the hood.
Interesting.
The whole premise is to learn how to have your car repaired, not how to fix your car yourself.
Boy, have days changed. I can remember listening to some guys that they love to work on the antique cars because they say at least we can fix them. With a lot of the new cars, you cannot.
Mm-mm. A lot of times it's component replacement. And, you know, we had one in here about 3 or 4 weeks ago that the kids were in Votec. They had an older car. They thought they were going to fix it up. And they put the cables wrong to jumpstart it. And they crossed what they call cross polarity. They put the negative on the positive, positive on the negative.
Ouch.
And, oh, yeah, it just did all sorts of, electrical damage. It was
amazing. Now, that brings up another point, Pamela. Mm-hmm. Another point is that if someone ends up with a flat tire or they have an engine problem, you say, whatever you do, don't let anybody tow your car, not even only a road service or a law enforcement officer. Only allow them to move your vehicle. Now, that was something that I thought, that's good sense. I know that I belong to an emergency service, which is, I had a tire blow out on me last year, which was an interesting experience when you're on a freeway bumper to bumper. And that is something I had to do with weight. Now, you give safety things like be careful, don't get out of your car. If you're in the middle of the road, you've got to stay there or whatever in your middle of the freeway. That whatever you have to do, safety first, but mm-hmm. allow them to tow your car because
right.
a technician just isn't going to be able to work out on the side of a road even.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
When it, you know, it's one of those things you have to be aware of.
Now, you know, we have a good idea what's going on when they break down, you know, if it was our vehicle, we have an idea. But there is no way that you can carry all the equipment to properly diagnose it, let alone the tools and the parts to replace on the side of the road anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like your grandfather's Oldsmobile, where some duct tape and a screwdriver,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a jug of water will get you to the next gas station.
Not anymore.
And the reason why I was stressing about having not having somebody come say, oh, yeah, I'm a technician. I can fix this for you. Oh, no, because a professional ASC-certified technician knows they're not going to be able to fix it right there for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
They know it. And if you do let somebody start fishing around underneath the hood, you don't know what they're doing. And if they're fishing around, they don't know what they're doing either, because they know by just sheer experience and knowledge that they can't do anything there. If anything, the best they can do for you is call a road service.
You talk about how many parts in a vehicle can be made of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about switches that are made of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And when your vehicle gets older, they become fatigued and they break.
Right.
And that can happen with a number of parts. And I think that is one of the things, sometimes even melt. I had that with a part in my car. And the technician just said, this is what happens. This is what was actually a type of defect in this particular portion of the vehicle, of the electrical system. It was made of plastic. He said they melted.
Correct.
They had to improve on that, but it got so hot that it just melted and it couldn't work anymore. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Consumers just have no idea. And there are how many parts? I mean, in today's cars, there are thousands of parts in today's cars.
Tens of thousands of parts.
Well, thank you. That's probably, yeah, tens of thousands of parts.
Tens of thousands of parts.
Now.
And they break.
Yes, they do. But something you brought up in your book that I thought was so significant. And the reason it was very significant to me when I was reading it is I met a man that sold gasoline and was very familiar with the industry, with the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at an airport, and we were just chatting. We were standing in line. And he was talking about ethanol. And he said nobody should put it in their engine unless that engine is suited for it, because it actually destroys engine parts. And I'm listening to this man and what he's talking about, and I'm just stunned. And he said, people just don't have an awareness of this. You talk about an E85 octane.
Yeah.
I don't think we have it here in the state of Washington.
Some states have it, some don't. For an example, I'm in Florida, and you can get E85 in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some have it, some don't. The E85... that specific vehicle was designed for that specific blend of gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little cheaper than what you and I are purchasing. And being a little cheaper, it's a little bit more, entertaining to want the consumer to put it in their car because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, because that specific gasoline mixture is set up for a specific way to burn in the engine, in the internal combustion system, and it's not set up for your vehicle or my vehicle or your next-door neighbor's, because it's a different blend, and the sensors and actuators are set up different for this special blend, and it will ruin a whole plethora of things. And if you put the E85 into a newer vehicle that's still under a factory warranty, it will immediately void that factory warranty. It's done. Because we can tell that cars don't lie.
Well, that's what this gentleman was telling me. And I
mm-hmm.
thought, whoa, here you're bringing it out in the book. And I'm saying, okay, here we go. Here's an additional confirmation of what information I was giving you. Talk about a top-tier gasoline,
mm-hmm.
and it's regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency, but there were the big six, General Motors, Toyota, Honda, Volkswagen, Audi, and BMW, that came into an agreement regarding this particular formula for gasoline.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. So when you have these top six people got together, and they said this is a formula that we need to have the proper fuel consumption, the proper performance out of our vehicles. And a handful of petroleum companies got together and they said, okay, we can do this. And there's just a handful of them. And every ASC Blue Seal shop has this list, and they have the list for, you know, your manufacturer, and you just ask your ASC Blue Seal shop for the list for the top-tier fuel stations in your state. And they also have a list of top-tier fuel stations for Canada as well. Use the top tier. Not only will it improve the performance of the car, and you'll have less emissions, your fuel economy is going to go up. Your fuel economy goes up, you go longer in a tank of gas, and you keep more money in your pocket.
Wow. Would you repeat the information again on how someone finds those top-tier gasoline stations?
Yes, it's ASC certified. Go to an ASC certified Blue Seal shop and ask them for a list of the top-tier fuel stations, and they'll give you the list. And that's good nationwide, too, by the way.
Great.
But you have to pick out which ones in your community. For example, the community that I'm in, Shell and Chevron are the top-tier fuel stations that I go to. And it works. It really works.
Amazing. Now, one of the things you talk about, since you're talking about fuel here, you say we should never let the fuel get lower than a quarter of a tank, because it actually causes damage to the engine. I'd never heard that before.
It doesn't cause damage to the engine. Your fuel economy goes down. And the reason why it goes down is because sensors and actuators, components in your engine, they are running a test. They're doing a little mini diagnostic test. And basically, in a nutshell, in layman's terms, it's going like, okay, throttle position sensor, are you here? And the throttle position sensor says, yes, I'm here. And what it'll do is it'll turn on and off for maybe 5 milliseconds. Very tiny. But see, it keeps this up for a while to make sure that everything's running okay. And when it does this, your fuel economy, no pun intended, it tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes another quarter to another half a tank for the fuel economy to go back up to normal, and then everybody gets stuck because of the price of fuel. They get stuck in this mode, and they says, well, you know, empty's empty, and I'm running it to empty. Your new empty needs to be quarter tank.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, your book has so much good information in it, and Pamela, you've done such a good job of compressing it. This is a very handy book for someone to have, and it's a good book, I think, to be able to give to young people who are just starting to drive. I think that this is something a family can really benefit from, and for young people, it's a great way to teach them about how to be responsible with a vehicle, as well as for more mature people like myself who have been driving for years. But there are things that I was not really aware of. You also have a section on what should be carried in the way of an emergency kit in a car. You go into all kinds of details about how you can really keep your car running pretty well if you just pay attention to these specific things and do due diligence. Your vehicle would last, hey, maybe 20, 25, 30 years. Who knows? It could really be like the Energizer Bunny, keep going, going, and going. Now, you've got two websites. One is for your shop, PamsMotorCity.net. And the other one is for your book, CarCareForTheClueless.com. So both of the websites, PamsMotorCity.net, CarCareForTheClueless.com. This is a great book.
Well,
it is
you.
Really something that's very valuable, I think. And for you gals out there, why not become educated? We may not want to do what Pamela does, because maybe we really don't have that much interest in it, but why not be aware so that you're not taken advantage of when you go to the car shop. Pamela, thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed talking with you this afternoon, and you know, it's just a learning experience for all of us.
It really is, and it's an ongoing one because of all the new technology that keeps developing.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Pamela, for sharing this time with me. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a little bit. Check out her websites, PamsMotorCity.net. find out about the ASE certified shops in your area and get a listing of the top tier gasoline stations as well so that you can have better mileage with your vehicle. Also check out carcareforthecluelesss.com. That's about her book. Great thing to give to someone that maybe needs to be a little bit more educated, but more importantly, get it for yourself. I think you'll be very glad you did. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic. Safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me today, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or initial, and I will give you intuitive information over the air. So give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. I really find it fascinating. And I know we've got a caller, but I want to share with you some tips that a person sent me regarding how you can sabotage yourself. And I thought this would be great to share. We're starting in the new year. Let's look at what we can do so that we don't sabotage ourselves, right? But first, let's take our telephone caller. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
This is JD, and I'm calling from Summit, New Jersey.
Well, JD, welcome to the show, and I'm so delighted you're able to join us.
Yes, thank you.
JD, the first thing that I'm getting in my mind is reorganization. I think that you have been taking the time to do some introspection for yourself. And I really appreciate and respect this. I think that you have been sort of overwhelmed in the last year. Actually, it's the last couple of years. I think you've had a lot on your plate, and you pretty much haven't put yourself in first positioning. But you've gotten some things in order, and you're looking at your environment and your life, and you're saying to yourself, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I've got on my agenda. Is this really what I want? So you're reorganizing your priorities. And I think your timing is excellent. I think that what you're doing is very wise. And you need to take your time with this because I think it's going to actually take you, believe it or not, it's either 6 weeks or 6 months, and I'm more inclined to lean towards the 6 months because I think you've got some interferences that are coming up, and you need to be patient with yourself, and you need to be very deliberate about having quiet time. You need to have that time so that you can just zone everything out, have your period of meditation, if you will, and then have your pad of paper and a pen in front of you. Make sure you have an uncluttered space so that you have no distractions, and by golly, itemize out what's most important to you. When you do that, you're going to be able to see how you are going to be able to pull things together. And I really like this. I think that this is something that is so very, very important to you. And I believe that by June the 7th of this year, you are going to have a very, very simple but carefully thought out plan of what you want to accomplish. I like this. I think this is good. So be patient with yourself. Don't try to do it, let's say, in a week. You need to be very thorough. Because once you make a determination, you are so committed and so dedicated to getting things done, by golly, you're going to do it. And you will. And you won't let anything get you off track. So just hang tough in there, but give yourself that quiet time. You really need it, JD. You are going through a major metamorphosis, and you have to give time, attention, and thoughtful detail to what it is you really want to shift into. So go for it. Do you have a question for me?
I do. Mike, thank you very much for that. My question is, I'm working on a project in an inner city, and we have some housing, and I'm wanting to clear out the crime and the drug problem in this particular area. And I'm wondering whether I'll be successful with the help of the police to be able to clear that out in this particular housing sector.
I think it's not just working with the police. I think you really need to look at those organizations and groups in different parts of the country, whether it's Detroit, Chicago, various groups that have come together and they've worked together as a community. I think it has to be a community issue. Now, you may have people in the area that really don't care one way or the other. And you just need to realize you want to work with those people who really do care. So I think getting people in that housing area together, asking them, what do they want? Now, lots of times people get very, very frightened. So you're taking on a role of leadership here. And you're taking on a task that if you have the law enforcement supportive of you and you can work with that, but you're also going to have to work with the individuals within the environment itself, because otherwise they can sabotage you. And I think of one woman that I remember being made aware of, and this has to have been about 10 years ago, and she was quite successful. And she took over a section of a community. I do not remember where it was, but it was in one of the big cities. It was not on the West Coast. I think it was more towards the East Coast area. But what she did is that she set the standard, and she set the standards for the environment, and people had to qualify to get into the building, which upset a lot of people, but she said, no, this is the standard. We're not going to have spitting, we're not going to have fires, we're not going to have graffiti, we're not going to have drug addicts, we're not going to have this, that, or the other. So I would try to research those individuals that have had a successful result. Because you have to have the complete change of mentality, and it has to involve the community within that environment. And if you have enough people within the community, they will be supportive if they know they're going to have the support. Fear is the biggest element that you're fighting.
That's
and
right.
That is the biggest element you're fighting. So if you, along with the law enforcement environment, and individuals, because they don't believe that you can achieve this. But there has to be some standard. And I think you've got one heck of a job here. But you're going to need to enlist the insistence of people that are going to be supportive. There are those individual groups, too, that are out on the street that really want to be supportive of this, too, that are out actively involved in the community. And I think if you brainstorm with some of them, you may come up with a very good plan. That explains to me why you have to take your time to really think things through.
Okay.
I hope this has helped you, dear.
Yes, thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Allow about 2 years for this to totally come into positioning. But you need to think through very, very carefully what needs to be done.
Got it. All right. Thank you very much,
I wish you the best. You're very, very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're right here, and I'm available to chat with you. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. Quick like a bunny, I think there's another caller that's waiting. I wanted to let those of you in the state of Washington know that there are going to be two events that I'm doing. One is on the 21st of January, and that is a Saturday, and I'm going to be appearing at the Ascension and Delight Foundation Center along with some other individuals. We're going to be available to give insight into the new year for people that want to come and meet with us. And it's going to be held at 1222 South Weller Street in Seattle. And if you want information on it, give them a call at 206-356-6356. And we'll be starting, I think it's between 6 and 6:30 in the evening, and it's a $20 admission fee for that. So if you want more information on that, great. And then on the 28th, we have got a fabulous, fabulous class, Quantum Mind 2. I am so excited about this. Robert Newman and I are putting on this second class. The first one was just so well received. We're putting on a second one. We've got additional things that we're going to be sharing. For me, I'm going to be giving some information regarding about psychic development, but we're also going to be very interactive on this, so you'll be able to see how you can do it yourself. And he's going to be talking about feng shui and the money frog and all kinds of different aspects for prosperity. So it's just going to be an absolutely dynamic event, and I'll be giving you some more information on the location. But if you want to get your reservations in for that, it's $59.95 for that day. We'll start at 10, end at 4. We're extending the program so we have more time to give more information. We were asked to do that, so that's what we're going to do. So call my office if you want to make a reservation for that class, 253-582-5604. Donna Sebo here, and if we have another caller on the line, I'm ready for you. Let's do it.
Hi.
Hi, dear. First name
Hi.
Or initial?
R.
Where are you calling from?
Miami.
From Miami. I'm so delighted that you called in. Okay, I know you should have some sunshine there, but I understand. Did you have the cold snap like they did in another part of Florida?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you got it, too.
Yes, we did.
Oh, my goodness. That must have been really a shock. Let's get down to business with you. The first thing I'm looking at is you are a very good problem solver. When I'm watching you, you have this way of taking in information and processing it, evaluating it, and then being able to offer solutions. And I use the plural for a reason, because somewhere along your experience in life, you learned how to communicate with people in such a way that you empower them. And this is a skill that takes time to refine, and I have to compliment you. I think you're pretty good at this. And you have been irritated with certain individuals that have been in your life because you feel like you need to hit them in the head with a 2x4 because there's no logic in reaching them. And you're going, how in the world am I going to do this? And I want to say, you have to remember not everybody is going to be able to have the problem-solving capability you've got. So you need to be able to stand back and really, really deal with the reality that some people are going to have to go through what I call the 2x4 experience from the universe, and you have to let them do it. Just say, okay, if this is your option, you've got this and this and this. You choose whichever one you want, but remember, you're going to get results with your choices. And then stand back and let go. And that sometimes is hard for you because you really would like to be able to see people become more successful. But that learning curve is a good learning curve. It is not a bad learning curve for them. So this is something I think you're growing into. I think you'd be a fabulous counselor, regardless of what arena you'd want to be in, and I would hope that you'd continue on with your education, whether it's reading books or taking classes, whatever you want to do. I really think that you are going to touch a lot of people's lives, and offer a stability of wisdom and insight, especially as you get older, that I think is really going to be appreciated. But you're also going to find something, and that is, especially this year, you are not going to waste your time with people who are not going to be of what I call a supportive attitude. In other words, you don't want to be with the people that say they can't. You want to be with people that say, okay, I've got this right now, but I want to be able to do something with it, and you want to move forward. You yourself are really cleaning up the loose ends in your life. Now, you've been doing this for a good year, year and a half anyway, but I'm seeing you really getting the Mr. Clean attitude and saying, I've really got to get some things done and get it out of the way. And by golly, you're going to do it. So I think this is a very hard-working year for you, but yet I'm seeing you smiling throughout the entire year, even though you feel like you're having to work very, very hard. I'm really looking at you coming out ahead, and that is something that I think is very positive for you. Do you have a question for me today?
Yes, thank you. I have a granddaughter of 7 that I'm very worried about. She is showing some anger issues, and I don't know how to help her. I'm wondering how I can be of help.
When did this start? It looks like to me there's something that's been going on behind the scenes that you know nothing about that's in her personal space, and I think she's copycatting someone, and she's being allowed to get away with it. What do you know about that's going on in her life?
Well, I don't know that her parents are giving her strong enough boundaries, and I don't know how to make them hear that.
Well, how often is she with you?
Well, we try to have her as much as we can, but she's in school now, so she's not with me, but like she'll be with me from Friday till Monday now. So I have her maybe every other week or every third week for a little period of time. You know, not huge because I don't live that close to her.
All right, we're going to take a break. I want to give some suggestions to you when we come back. Will you be staying on the line with me?
Sure.
Wonderful. We're going to take a break. This is Donna Siebel, and we're going to be back in just a bit with R to answer her questions. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, R, are you still with me?
I am.
Okay, great. We have a little bit of a time delay, but that's okay. The first thing I want to say is, since you are going to be having her for a few days every week, and if she's starting to act out and she's doing things like this, I know that timeouts are very popular, but you might need to bring her attention into the forefront in such a way where you are going to be able to make her aware of her personal responsibility for her behavior. And this is a very intelligent child. So she is learning something from someone that she has been around. She is playing a game of manipulation. And so if she can do this game and get away with it, then it's going to become a part of her persona, which is not a good one. So she needs to know that it's not acceptable in your space. And if she throws a tantrum or if she does something, there needs to be an accountability of some kind. Now, maybe you want to sit her in a corner. That sounds sort of silly. Or maybe you sit down and have her do something physical that maybe having her write, I will not do such and such. Figure something out. And what you're doing, you're forcing her to be still. And if she said no, then you say, you've got to write it 100 times. And she may say, I'm not going to do it. And say, well, if you're not going to do it, then you will just have to sit there. You're not going to watch television. You're not going to do this, but you will have to do this so many times. Now, I know that sounds rather simplistic, but there's something with kids because their minds are so busy. And with a lot of the kids today, for them to become aware of what they're doing, because people try to talk them out of it, and every child is different. But you've got such an intelligent kid here that focusing, making her sit or making her be quiet and doing something physically that she has to do, it's not unlike the story that I remember someone telling me so many years ago about a dad. His son just lost his temper and did something to an animal, hurt an animal, or did something like this. And the father just saw this behavior going on. And so he went out to his garage, and he had his son come out. He said, well, you're going to take and pound 100 nails into this piece of wood. And his son said, well, why should I do that? He said, you will do that. You're going to do this. And so he did. Well, 100 nails to pound into a piece of wood is a lot. So a lot of his energy was dispersed with that, and his dad, he went in, he said, Dad, I nailed 100 nails into the piece of wood like you told me. He said, okay. He said, now you take those nails out. And his son looked at him like he was crazy. He said, no, you take them out. And he did. And, of course, that was teaching him an aspect of completing something. And then his dad told him to look at the holes in the wood. He said, what do you see there? He said, well, I see a lot of holes. He said, all right. Every time you do something like what you do, you're creating a hole in somebody else or in something else. And his son all of a sudden got it, that he had to think before he did. And I don't know of any child that has not done something where they just did it. They didn't think about the results. And that's what you're going to have to try to get into her. And even though she's not with you 7 days a week, she will know that when she comes into your environment, her behavior has to be a certain way. And it'll set a paradigm for her. And you should discuss certain things with the parents about what you're seeing. It makes a difference. I have some people that I know that go through something similarly. And when their grandkids come over, they know that this is what's done at Pappy's house. And you just don't do certain things at Pappy's house. And they don't. They just won't do it. Am I making sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So don't take away your power and don't give your power to her. This child is so bright. This child really, really wants to learn. But sometimes they have to learn in different ways. And I think that you can be that stabilizing factor that will enable this child to know that there are variables. But I'll tell you, she's a good little manipulator.
Yeah. Do you think she needs professional help?
I think a lot of common sense would go a long way in helping this child. And I'll tell you something that really would work with this little girl. And that is to maybe do some volunteer work with animals. And if there was a group like the Humane Society or something like this, where she has to learn how to do it, where she's under supervision of other people, and she has to take care of something. Understanding maybe, you know, how to bathe animals or what have you. I think that would give her a very strong sense of how she has to be someone that has to be thoughtful about what she does.
That's a great idea.
I think it's just good old-fashioned common sense and practical application. I don't think this kid has mental problems. I think she's a kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just worried if her behavior had gotten to the point where it was set already.
Oh, no. She's in the accumulation of will this work stuff. So, no, she's still pliable there. She's still workable. But she has to be held accountable and she has to be responsible. I'm sorry, I'm out of time.
Thank you so much, Donna.
You are welcome, Ara. I wish you the best. And stay warm there in Florida. This is Donna Sebo. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'm so glad you were able to join me today. God bless. And we'll be talking soon. Tomorrow, I will have a best of Donna, but I'll be back with you on Friday, and we are going to be talking about life in the wrong lane. Talk with you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.